This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Well, welcome everybody to The People Speak. Right now and today we have guest Ralph Pointer, husband of Lynn Stewart, and Jeff Mackler, who is the coordinator for Lynn Stewart Defense Committee. Radical human rights attorney Lynn Stewart has been falsely accused of helping terrorists. On Tuesday, April 9, 2002, she was arrested by agents and searched of her Manhattan office for documents. She was arraigned before Manhattan federal judge John Kotel. This is an obvious attempt by the U.S. government to silence dissent, curtail against the U.S. government's radical racisms, seek to help Arabs and Muslims being prosecuted from free speech, and defend the rights of oppressed people. Lynn Stewart received a 28-month sentence in 2006. The government appealed the sentence, and in 2009, Lynn was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. She is now in federal medical facility for women in Texas, thousands of miles away from her home, family, and community. She now has breast cancer. She is returned, and she is imprisoned, scheduled for surgery and for other problems. The week she was sentenced, Stewart, instead of waiting 18 months for this, she had to wait 18 months for the surgery. In the meantime, the cancer metastasized to the point that her attending physician called it the worst case of cancer he has ever seen. She received chemotherapy in custody, but her condition is feared to be terminal. Human rights activists Dick Gregory and Desmond Tutu publicly endorsed a petition to grant her a compassionate release. Please sign the petition to release Lynn and learn other ways of supporting Lynn Stewart. Welcome, my dear guests, Ralph and Jeff Mackler.
How
please
are you?
Please tell us about this horrible ordeal. I mean, I'm amazed that this poor woman, that she's done so well, and done so many things for the people that couldn't afford lawyers, and now she's in this position of helping these people, and now trapped in jail with cancer, about to die. Please tell us your story.
The most interesting things and the most important things that your listeners should know is that the charges of Lynn of making a public press release. Remember, this was a press release through Reuters. And violating the SAM, Special Administrative Measures, were done before Lynn did it, which may have informed her to think that she could do it, with her own client, Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman, by Ramsey Clark, ex-Attorney General of the United States, who was co-counsel with her, and Abdin Jabbar, who was co-counsel with her. They made press releases for a client who was accused of terrorism before Lynn did. And after Lynn was arrested and convicted for making these press releases, other attorneys have made press releases, mainly the Guantanamo attorneys. Not only did they make press releases violating the SAMs, they violated the court orders. And today, other lawyers who are representing accused terrorists are making press releases violating the SAMs and court orders, but they have picked Lynn Stewart. The government has used their right to selective prosecution to pick Lynn Stewart. And when you ask the question, why Lynn Stewart, then you get the story of Lynn Stewart. And the story of Lynn Stewart, in a nutshell, is a woman who came of age in the 60s, a 23-year-old woman who showed up in Harlem to teach school as a librarian, has been in the forefront of every social and political progressive movement in this country. The rights for people of color to vote, to go to decent schools, to sit at restaurants. When they didn't have a term as battered wives, Lynn Stewart was in the forefront of that struggle. Welfare mothers, Lynn Stewart, in the forefront of the struggle. Black Panther Party breakfast program, Lynn Stewart in the forefront of the struggle. Immigration, Lynn Stewart, and it continues. And this is why they went after Lynn Stewart. And who and what is Lynn Stewart? Lynn Stewart is a person, brilliant, valedictorian of every class she was ever in, who feels America should be what it says it is. And that is the Lynn Stewart story in a nutshell, and she is paying the price for it now. There can be no other reason. You can't say that a press release is a criminal act. Her client, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, opposed Hosni Mubarak, the dictator in Egypt, who for 29 years was unopposed. There was no vote. You couldn't run against him. If you suggested that you were going to have a campaign as opposing Hosni Mubarak, you disappeared. The United States supported Hosni Mubarak. Her client, the blind sheikh, had nothing to do or say about America. His only interest was Egypt. Lynn has been proven to be a soothsayer, a prophet. When she said on the witness stand, when people who have the heel of the boot of oppression on their neck, they will throw it off by whatever means they desire and that they can, and Lynn said she supports that. That classified her as a terrorist, and she sits in jail today. I will stop there and allow others to add on to that.
Okay.
Hello?
I can continue.
Lynn has worked for the poor, the oppressed. She charged her as an attorney. She charged her clients according to their ability to pay. Many clients who could afford a lot complained, and they asked her why their attorney would be working for poor people, people of color. And her stories are legend, because her answer was, if you're unhappy with my representation, I will be glad to leave. Of course, no one was unhappy with her representation because she did the job. And she talked of the poor, and she says when anybody got her, and she would carry 110 active cases at a time, and she did every one as if it were her own case. And her story is legend. When they write it, it will be the history of what America should have been, what America claimed it was, and what it was portrayed as by Lynn Stewart. And she is guilty of defending the Bill of Rights. And her credo is, you have no right you're not willing to use or defend. She used her right of free speech. She used the right for people to have an attorney who represents them. And this is it in a nutshell. And there's so many cases I could regale you for 24 hours because I have been fortunate enough to live and watch, work with this person who has been called the John Brown of her age, the Eugene Debs of her age, the Dreyfus of her time, because he was falsely accused based on religion, the Zola of her time because of the great defense, She is everything that people claim that she is. And to tell the stories and name the cases is a beautiful story, except the ending that we see coming upon us is not a happy ending. And when the Second Circuit said that the judge who had sentenced her to 28 months had not given her a great enough sentence, because even after she had been convicted in the Islamophobia that was going on at the time, when she was convicted of plotting to kill American citizens overseas, what citizen? Where? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. And the jury convicted her of ridiculous charges. The Second Circuit said even after she was convicted, she continued going around to the country in law schools and universities, corrupting our youth. And she did go around the country to law schools and universities. Any institution that would ask her to come to speak to defend her position, that is, defending the Bill of Rights, she would go and she would speak on it. And if that's corrupting youth, I guess she's guilty of corrupting youth, law schools and universities. And as I said, when the Second Circuit said that, well, you have joined the ranks of Jesus Christ and Socrates, that didn't do them any good either. And so this is who Lynn Stewart is. She defended the Bill of Rights. And that should be no stretch of the imagination as to what could happen to people who would defend the Bill of Rights, because we had just come out of an era where black people were not allowed to vote. And if a person registered to vote, they risked their life, and many died. And if a person helped someone vote, they risked their lives, and many died. So it's not a far stretch to say somebody defends the Bill of Rights. They're risking their life when you defend it for the wrong people, when you defend the poor, when you defend people of color, when you defend people of the wrong religion. And we have seen deaths of people caused by their having the wrong religion. This is no stretch. This is just a repeat of what has happened throughout history. But what we must do is we must stop the repeat of history with its negative outcomes and make America what it says it is. And that's all Lynn ever said. He says, America says they're going, this is what it should be, and let us make it what it says it was. And it didn't.
Let me add to that, Ralph, if I can.
Go ahead.
Oh, please. I just wanted to make a statement really quick. I mean, it's amazing how people have turned their back on her. I mean, not you two, not in any way, but all these things, all these people that she has helped so passionately. And now she sits there, you know, in the jail with cancer, you know, terminal. I'm sorry. I'm very hurt that she's in this position, and I feel for both of you. Please, please, yes. Continue, Jeff. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah. Actually, I'm the West Coast coordinator of Lynn's defense. I know Lynn now for over 50 years. We went to high school together, and I can confirm that I was not the valedictorian of Jamaica High. Lynn has always been a brilliant attorney. I met her first in the 60s in New York City when we worked together to fight against the racist policies of the school administration.
Oh, so you're a rabble-rouser too, helping people.
Correct.
Excellent.
I was at Lynn's trial that lasted for 5 weeks, and it was an astonishing trial. You won't believe it, but the government had literally one witness against Lynn during a 5-week trial. And that witness was a federal prosecutor who simply said, I signed a SAM, a special administrative measure, which purported to prevent Lynn from issuing press releases on behalf of her client. That's the only deed that she was convicted of, and yet they turned that into 5 counts of conspiracy to aid and abet terrorism. Now, in most cases, when a lawyer speaks on behalf of their client, even if the wording, which in this case it wasn't, of the special administrative measure is crystal clear, the severe punishment that you get is they prevent you from visiting your client for perhaps a couple of weeks or a couple of months until you sign another SAM, which is what happened with Lynn. And in fact, Lynn continued a free person for 2 years under the Clinton administration. No one thought that she had convicted an illegal act. It was only with the Bush administration that suddenly they decided that a press release constituted a criminal act, revealing the views, the peaceful views, of her client, Omar Abdel Rahman, was considered a crime. During the trial itself, however, the government prosecutors flashed on screens that are the size of movie screens, pictures of Osama bin Laden and terrorist activities all over the world, as if to say that Lynn somehow or other was involved in these activities. And in each case, her attorney, Michael Tiger, objected, and in each case, the judge agreed that this was hearsay, no evidence whatsoever that Lynn had anything to do.
But this was after already all the jurors had already seen all this. And
that's
have already
right.
been
the,
hit
the jurors
by, right?
had seen this for 5 weeks, and none of it had anything to do with any activity at any time or place with Lynn Stewart. And in fact, the judge himself said, "This is just hearsay. You can't accept it as fact." To the jury, he said this, "But I'm allowing it to show the mind of the defendant." Now, where did Lynn get these press clippings?
The third defendant. Nothing. It is not entered for the truth. It is not entered for the fact. It is not entered as a consideration of the two defendants, but merely of the mindset of the third defendant. And although Michael Tiger argued against it, the judge allowed it in.
That's hearsay.
So far as to go to Luxor, the massacre of tourists at Luxor. Nothing to do with Lynn.
Absolutely.
She never even
Absolutely.
Knew the shake at the time. But it entered, and we will be in the Supreme Court to review these issues, hopefully, in the near future. But
that's like
Stewart
blaming her for the Valdez oil spill and putting her there in the picture and saying, oh, yeah, she did it.
Exactly.
Even worse, though, was the fact that the press clippings that they flashed up on the board were not Lynn's. They were press clippings, many of which came from the U.S. government itself. Under the laws and rules of discovery, the government had to turn over information which it had to Lynn. This wasn't even Lynn's possession. It would be as if I go into your house and collect, the government gives you material that they then use to prosecute you. I want to say this, that we hope to free Lynn, to get her out on compassionate release quickly. And
more
in order
to
do that, we want your listeners to help. We want them to go immediately to Lynn Stewart. That's LYNNE Stewart, SWEART.org, and make the phone calls to the Attorney General of the United States, the President of the United States, and the Director of the FBI, the Warden of the Bureau of Prisons, the warden himself of FMC Carswell, where Lynn is incarcerated, has recommended compassionate release for Lynn Stewart. The paperwork is sitting.
It says Dick Gregory and Desmond Tutu have already said they endorse compassionate release.
20,000 people have signed petitions around the country demanding compassionate release. Tens and hundreds of thousands of people have already called into the government demanding compassionate release. We have no intention of losing this battle. The next 3 days, starting tomorrow, we want to generate millions of calls from every quarter of society.
Well, a lot of senators and governors do listen to the show, congressmen that we've had on, so they are listening to the show, and hopefully they will be part of the LynnStewart.org petition.
That's right.
The beauty of it is
you can sign the petition and get the phone numbers to call in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right on the LynnStewart.org website.
And you can just, if you go to the LynnStewart.org website, you will learn more about Lynn. She continues to write and to speak and to talk on issues. And she, it is very clear who she is. And the government,
I mean, she's amazing. She takes cases to help people that no one else would touch.
Exactly. And proceeds
for people that can't afford a lawyer. She's there like Superwoman to try to help them.
Not only that, an amazing story. When Lynn was first sentenced to 28 months, Judge Cottle himself had to point to her financial records, which indicated that she had virtually no money, and he made a joke of it in court. He said, "You're one of the few lawyers I've ever met that doesn't have a cent." And he said she was a credit to the legal profession. And indeed,
yeah,
he added she was a credit to the nation. And he sentenced her to 28 months. Lynn walked outside to a bevy of reporters from all over the country. And she said, with relief, she had entered the courtroom with the premise that the government had asked for 30 years of her life as a sentence. So Lynn said, quote, "I can do 28 months standing on my
head." Jeff. Please, Jeff, what she said, and you can listen to the reports by many of the stations, what she said was, "As many of my clients have said to me, upon being feeling relief of the sentence, I can do that standing on my head." And she was very clear, "As many of her clients have said to her." And in, anyone can look it up. And after people had made that mistake, there was only one lawyer in New York, after I pointed out what she had said, who went back and looked at the newscast. That's his, and he said, "You're right, Ralph. That's what she said." And anybody can look up and see exactly what she said. "As many of my clients have told me." And it's an interesting thing. Let us assume that she had said the other thing. "I can do that standing on my head." The question is that after having received a sentence, the judge changed the sentence. Suppose that she had said, "Oh, this is too harsh." Would the judge have reduced the sentence? What the attorney or anybody whose sentence says after the sentence has nothing to do with anything, except in the case of Lynn Stewart, when they wanted to give her more time, they had to find something, so they went to that. And if you look at that, if you take your time, if you go to any of the news media, and there are many reproductions of that telecast, and it is very clear what she said, but nobody takes it back. They just keep on repeating the mistake that they made.
Well, you know, we're here and grateful that you cleared that up, Ralph. We've got you. We've got Jeff right here. We're going to be back in a few minutes with Jeff Mackler and Lynn Stewart's husband, Ralph Poynter, who are here to please ask all of our viewers to sign the petition, LynnStewart.org. Sign to free her. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And like millions of other responsible Americans, I smoke pot. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. And it's none of the government's business. Let's get the government out of our private lives once and for all and stop arresting smokers. Let's take a stand for personal freedom. To learn how you can help, go to normal.org.
Come, you masters of war.
Hello,
this is Cindy Sheehan. America's war on terror has become a war of terror, with endless drone bombings, continuing military occupation, as well as detention, rendition, and torture still being practiced under the current administration. I lost my precious son Casey to war, and now work towards a day when not one more mother, son, or daughter will suffer such a loss. Listen to my podcast, read my blog, and come join me at any activities I attend near you. Please visit CindySheehanSoapbox.com for more information, and let's work for peace together.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to our show. We have some wonderful guests, and they are here to bring justice to our dear Lynn. Lynn is still in jail, in prison, and we want people to call in. You know, the petition is great, but let's go ahead and get people to call in for a compassionate release. And we have our guests, Jeff and Ralph. Please continue.
Well, thanks for having us on. And I was holding back on the name of the lawyer who spoke out, you know, like against the misconceptions of people. His name is Ron Kuby. He was an assistant of the great Bill Kunstler. And he said he had made the mistake, and when I criticized him for it, he looked on the ABC and NBC, and he saw the preference. He was the only one who called and said, "Rob, you're perfectly right. This is what happened, not what people say happened." But the facts that I want people to really take to heart is, before Lynn did it, other attorneys did it. After Lynn did it, other attorneys, and it is violating the SAMs. Attorneys violated the SAMs before Lynn and while Lynn and after Lynn. And they're still violating the SAMs and court orders. But nobody is in jail except Lynn Stewart. And you have to say, why is Lynn Stewart in jail? And then the why leads you to looking at Lynn Stewart's answer. Lynn Stewart, the white Irish attorney, who says racism is as American as apple pie and mom. And when ex-Attorney General Ramsey Clark called Lynn to his office, and I was with her, to ask her to take this case because he understood that America's foreign policy was getting into deep trouble or was in deep trouble, and he said, "You have saved the people of your community. You have saved the people of your neighborhood. Now save the people of your nation by showing the rest of the world that we can get a first-class attorney to serve someone who came from the Islamic community." And I told Lynn, I'm sorry to say, I told Lynn, don't take the case because it's dangerous. I, as a black person of color in America, I have seen the full thrust of racism. It's not like reading it when you see it and live it. And I said, this is going to be a very dangerous situation in America. I didn't even know the words Islamophobia, but I understood the situation. And Lynn thought about it for a moment, and Ramsey Clark, after, you know, his persuasive manner, I convinced Lynn to take the case, and then Lynn looked at me and said, "Are you going to do this with me?" And my answer was, "Of course." And then I felt ashamed because she did other dangerous things when she supported the right of black people to vote. And if we were, just have to look back a few years to see what happened to many people who would dare show up to register to vote. Lynched, shot, thrown off the land, burned, killed. Lynn supported that. Lynn supported the education of children, poor children in the inner city. Very dangerous. Lynn supported battered wives. Very dangerous. Lynn supported gay rights. Very dangerous. And so I feel guilty that I said this too was going to be dangerous. And to Lynn's credit, she did the case and she did it very well. And the government went after her. Not, as many of the people in the neighborhood said, that you were dealing with that guy with the sunglasses and the turban. Lynn, they're after you because of how you have defended us for 30 years. And I tend to believe that myself. Lynn was an element in her community, a progressive element. And as we had an organization called Teachers Freedom Party in the early days, and our credo was that, I believe, of Emerson, the truth cannot be told so as to believe and not understood. And Lynn could tell the truth so as to be believed and understood. And therefore, she became as dangerous as all of the rest of the whistleblowers that the government is going after and putting in jail. She didn't blow the whistle, but she made clear what was happening in terms of the so-called terrorist acts that the government was very much involved in the Landmarks case, and she stumbled into the case of World Trade Center 1 when Emad Salem, the same informer who was working on the Landmarks case, when she cross-examined him, she exposed the government's involvement in World Trade Center 1. That made her very dangerous. Had nothing to do with it. But every time you looked at a picture of World Trade Center 1, you saw superimposed on the picture the blind sheikh, who was never indicted, never charged for World Trade Center 1. But this was a myth of the media. And they care when Lynn exposed that myth in the Landmarks case, then they went after Lynn. Now, you have to know, as Jeff had mentioned, Janet Reno, the Clinton administration, they knew all about it. And they recorded every word that Lynn had ever said. And when there was no crime, they charged the sheikh with not reporting his agent, the government's FBI agent, to the FBI. That's all they could get him on, because every time the agent would say something, the blind sheikh would say, no, not a good idea. No, that's not good for Islam. And when Lynn tried to show that the sheikh's responsibility was the same as a priest, stop somebody from doing something, but don't turn them into the police, Judge Mukasey said it would only tend to confuse the jury. And then they convicted the sheikh for not turning in the FBI agent to the FBI. He just told him not to do it. The sheikh is in jail for life plus 60 years. Lynn is in jail, and it is a government cover-up. They want to keep it covered. And you see, they're going after the young man who's in Hong Kong, Bradley Manning, and everyone else who would tell the truth about what the government is doing. But the sad thing is, Lynn is in jail, suffering from stage 4 cancer, and as our daughter, the doctor, says, even under the best of circumstance, she would be in a terrible fight for her life. While prison medicine, as Lynn says, is an oxymoron. There is no health care in prison. And she is there, and she is dying. And if you go to the website, everyone listening has a computer, you will see the numbers of Attorney General Eric Holder. You will see the numbers of Obama. You will see the numbers of the Bureau of Prison, the people we want you to call. And I am saying, come Monday, this coming Monday, I will be in Washington, D.C., and it'll be base camp Lynn Stewart, and I'm going to stay there. And I'm asking as many people who can come whenever they can come. If they can give 15 minutes, if they can give an hour, if they can give a half day, holding a sign to protest this outrageous
injustice. Ralph, what day is this that you want people to show?
Pardon?
What day exactly are you going to show?
I'm going to be there from Monday till Lynn gets out. We're going to have Camp Washington, D.C., Camp Lynn Stewart. Cindy Sheehan, who's been on your program, went to Bush's ranch and camped out to say, we want to know why you went to war. You know, why her son is dead. Well, I want to know why they're killing Lynn Stewart. I want the president to come out and tell us that he is saving America by lying to America. And it's, you know, we will be there, and we want answers, and we want Lynn Stewart home. And if nothing else, we shall bring Obama home. And it has to start in the black community with people of color to let him know that our hero, Lynn Stewart, Sister Lynn, as she is called, not because somebody made up a song, because Lynn has been a sister to the black community, to the oppressed community, to the immigrant community, to the gay community, to the poor community. We want Sister Lynn home, or we will bring Mr. Obama back home. We will recall him and Eric Holder. And this is what we want people to do. Make that phone call. Make those calls as many times as you can. And hopefully, Lynn Stewart will be out before Monday, because come Monday, we will be in Washington, D.C., to call the president to task.
You know, Jeff, I wanted to see if you have anything to add to that.
I'll tell you, Ralph is the most wonderful spokesperson for Lynn that I know anywhere in the country. Lynn and Ralph have been at my house five times. They've spoken to innumerable meetings at law schools, professional organizations, community groups, church groups, and the response is always the same. They lay out the facts of Lynn's case. No one expected Lynn to be persecuted. In fact, when the FBI showed up at Lynn's doorstep, it was Ralph who answered the door, and he asked for their identification. And Lynn charged to the door and said, Ralph, don't say anything to them. I'll have you out of jail by noon. And the FBI, to everyone's amazement, said, it's not Ralph we're after. It's you, Lynn. Lynn had no idea that she had done anything wrong, anything that could be conceived of as a violation of the law. The government never charged her for a SAM violation or anything else. This was a political vindictive statement to every lawyer in the country. If you defend people of Muslim faith, you are subject to persecution. This was a chill of the defense bar. This was part of the proceedings that we're now seeing unraveling everywhere in the country, where literally millions and millions of Americans have their phones and internets tapped. Lynn's case was a monstrosity. The government taped the proceedings, the discussion she had with her client. Attorney-client privilege was thrown out the window, and her personal and private conversations became part of the court record.
How can
they
attorney
threw away the Constitution
attorney rights privilege be ignored? How is that?
It was certainly ignored, and the beauty of it was they taped every conversation with their client.
How can they do that? I mean, isn't it the rights, the attorney client rights?
They couldn't find anything. So they finally said he didn't turn in the FBI agent to the FBI. There was no criminal intent. There was nothing done. No one with the government, and never claimed that anyone was ever harmed by anything said. But they said it might have happened. Now Lynn is in jail because what might have happened. And this is where it began, the thought crime. It might have happened, and she'll be one of the few people.
Do you think she's in jail to get her out of the way to represent more Muslims in this situation with all the terrorists going on and Guantanamo closing? I mean, is it a strategy to get rid of her at this moment?
It's a strategy to shut up attorneys, because after that, many attorneys made the statement, I will not represent a Muslim client accused of anything. It is too dangerous. And those who do represent clients, except those who violate the SAMs and the court orders, they are not prosecuted. Only Lynn is prosecuted. And it is, you know, you say, how can that be? Well, I say, go to Carswell Federal Medical Center and see if Lynn Stewart is sitting there, prosecuted and in jail, handcuffed and shot. You know, it's an outrageous situation. This is what America has become.
Yeah, Jeff.
It was predicted, and here we are, and presided, the face of white imperialism is Black Obama. And he gives white imperialism a bad name with his actions. He is far
as you guys as it between you two, Ralph, I mean, as a interracial couple with Lynn,
yes,
did you automatically at the beginning of your relationship see that kind of standoffishness to you because of it? I mean, did you start seeing all of this racism?
I don't know how old you are. But if you, the 60s was a period where America was awakening. We thought America was going to become the country that it said it was. And people worked on it. And it was a beautiful period. The great artists, the great musicians. We were teaching in Harlem, the Renaissance, James Baldwin, the theater company, the Lower East Side, so many of the artists, Ginsberg, all of the great artists were around, Charlie Parker, the musician. It was an age of awakening, a golden age that we thought was going to continue. And all of the rules were broken. Interracial marriage was really, you know, it was more. Before that, an interracial couple was a Protestant and a Catholic. In the 60s, that broke down. And we hope it continues to break down. This is what we live for. We were teachers.
So you pretty much, both of you guys, were the poster child of the world that we were supposed to have had today. And she continues, and you both continue, and Jeff, you all continue to try to create this world of non-prejudice, people standing up for their rights, whether they are poor, whether they are lame, whether they are of the hated masses. They still deserve proper representation and human rights.
You know, Ralph and I grew up in a generation that was part of the civil rights movement and the anti-Vietnam War movement, where the United States believed they could slaughter people anywhere on earth with impunity. They killed 4 million Vietnamese in the name of fighting against their right to invade the land that they were born in. The Vietnam War and the civil rights movement began to change consciousness, and we were part of that struggle. I was arrested on 9 different occasions for doing illegal things, like sitting in at a barber shop that refused to cut a black man's hair when the black man was the first in line. And they said, we won't cut his hair. It's your turn, white boy. And they used language like the N-word. I was an N-lover. Or I was a kike, and other vile language of anyone who defended civil rights. This was a period where we were breaking with the McCarthy era, where anyone who challenged the government was threatened with violating the national security interests of the United States. We've now returned to that era with a vengeance, with young people who release the most heinous crimes ever known, mass murder, drone bombings, kill lists. Anyone who tells the truth about the policy of the United States is threatened with a life sentence. That's the case with Bradley Manning. That's the case with Edward Snowden, and tens of thousands of other young people who challenge the existing power's denial of our democratic rights. So Ralph and I are just old guys who haven't given up the struggle, and we intend fully to see a new generation. And let me tell you something else. We intend to see Lynn Stewart back home with her family.
I expect to have her on the show. I want Lynn,
and
you, and Jeff, all of you guys back.
Well,
I want us at LynnStewart.org. I want everyone to look up there, and I want everyone to find a way to get this woman out. She has cancer. She's terminal. We need a compassionate release. We need it done. We need her home. We need her with her husband and with the people that she has helped all of her amazing, heroic career. We want her back.
Well, I will come on the program with you again, with Jeff and Lynn, if and when Lynn gets out, if you promise me not to allow them to sing the school song.
Right.
That's our Jamaica High School song, which is a bit trivial, but it comes to life when you go to a public meeting and Lynn and I stand up to sing the Jamaica High School in Queens, New York song, and we're joined by 50 Jamaica High School friends of Lynn. That's where the meeting comes
that
in.
They can't.
She's got people who are on her defense committee and actively work for her who are lifetime friends and family and schoolmates and teachers and lawyers and every type of person who stands for civil liberties has rallied to Lynn's cause. We want her out. We think we can win. And given the state of the art medicine practiced at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, we cross our fingers and hope that they can prolong Lynn's life, perhaps for a year or two, or maybe even with the miraculous techniques for longer. We don't accept the death sentence. You should know that for the past 30 years, the government has had in place a compassionate release policy. And of the hundreds of thousands of people who have been eligible, only an average of 19 per year have been granted compassionate release. And that is only when they are within weeks of death, absolutely terminal, and if they have a family to return to, they're allowed out of prison for a week or two. We want Lynn out of prison now. We want her out of prison forever, which is what compassionate release is, and we want to fight for a cure to this vicious stage 4 breast cancer that is spread to her sternum, her lymph nodes, both lungs, her shoulder, her back, and so on. But we can't get that cure in the medical facility she's at.
We must remember that over 20,000 people have signed on this petition. Look at the website and to see their names if you must. And the names of people like myself, ordinary people who understand the evil that is being done, the injustice, and go and sign. And I say do yourself a favor, because Lynn is not only educational, she is entertaining, the things she says. Just a wonderful human being that America really needs, the type of American that America needs, if it is ever to achieve the dream of what it says it is. And so I ask you, as you have said, go to that phone, look at that website, see what we're doing, demand of whoever is a person of responsibility in your community, your minister, your congressman, your state senator, demand that they speak out in support of Lynn Stewart and the Bill of Rights, because that's what Lynn Stewart is supporting, the Bill of Rights. And if we let that slip through our hands, we will have done history an injustice by sitting back and doing nothing. And I don't know who it was that said, in order for evil to triumph, is that for good men and women to do nothing.
Absolutely.
And do not be guilty of doing nothing. Reach out to Lynn Stewart and the supporters of Lynn Stewart, the supporters of the Bill of Rights. These are our rights. And how dare we allow Bush 1, Bush 2, and Bush 3, and Bush 4, and we call Bush 3 and 4 Obama, take those rights away.
Thank you so much for being on our show. Thank you so much. It was an honor to meet both of you. And
thank
remember, lynnestewart.org. What were you going to say, Jeff?
I was going to say it's been an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate the time and energy you've put into it, and I think the result will be a giant step forward for winning Lynn's freedom now.
Ah, I look forward to meeting her so much. Amazing woman. Tomorrow on The People Speak, we'll have a special show with host Mike Molloy at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, Jeff, and thank you. Thank you so much, Ralph. And I'm very much a fan of hers now. And of you both. I'm very glad to have you both. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. And we appreciate all your questions, though we had much to say. Have a great, great evening.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.